Welcome back to Anything But A1, Adventures in Historical Miniature Wargaming. For the life of me, I can't understand why anyone would listen to these losers. But hey, it's your life. Here's Tom Castaños, Richard Martinez, and Ray Winstead.
Welcome back to Anything But A1, Adventures in Historical Miniature Wargaming. Thank you, Chantel. Remember to like and share the podcast. It helps more people find the show, and we get more great ideas and input. Continued excellent conversation on the Facebook page, so if you don't follow us there and you're still on Facebook, jump on and join us. Remember, you can support the podcast by, if you follow on the buzzsprout.com webpage, click the little heart button at the top and you can buy us a beer, or you can actually become a more consistent supporter on Patreon at patreon.com/ABA and then the number 1. Sorry for the delay on this New Year's episode, but we all just had a ton of family holiday hootenanny going on, and you know, we always complain on here how hard it is for us to get together for a game. Sometimes it's just as hard for us to get together and record. So we're back, and thank you for your patience. I hope everybody had a great Christmas and whatever you celebrate. And if you got gifts, I hope you got lots of great game stuff. I got some nice 15-mil World War II Russians from the lovely family. Soviets, I guess, if it's World War II. So I did kind of tease that on the Facebook page with a kind of a case blue thing going on. Today, what we're going to talk about is just that. Probably beside, in third place, behind Empire Third and Johnny Reb, one of the more maligned sets of rules that we have...
Controversial.
Controversial set of rules that we have bickered about over the years is our friends over at Battlefront. They're whether it's Flames of War, whether it's Team Yankee, we're a group that played, you know, again, Ray and Rich played Flames of War since Volume One. Volume 1.
Liked it then, like it now.
I came into it playing Volume 2, and then we played an absolute ton of Volume 3. I don't know that there was a hue and cry not to play Volume 4. I think we had kind of just gotten maybe a little, I don't know, maybe burned out of Volume 3 for a while. Because we played that a lot.
Mm-hmm. We did volume play that a lot. Volume 3, we played... Volume 3 so much for so long that I think we all just kind of moved on.
Yeah.
Now, before Volume 4 came out,
we began to recognize some things that we didn't care for. I know, you know, anybody that played against the US and their copious artillery rules could be, you know, led to a little bit of a challenge on some of those things. But all in all, we still played the game very regularly.
Yes, the U.S. magic, everybody dies when I point at them rules.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't remember it that way. Yeah, I was the shooting. Americans.
You were shooting, yeah. That's why. Yes. Yeah, that was yeah.
Not being on the receiving end. Yeah, not being on the receiving end of it will do that to you.
Everybody being able to call fire, and like everyone was an observer for everything.
Like being on the receiving end of 88s all the time, you know, across the table. So,
it's all were fair. Expensive. I didn't have that many.
I had one battery. They're expensive, too.
Boys. So
we're starting early.
Yeah, we are starting early. We're wound up getting all that holiday
it's
energy.
It's been a while since we've had the privilege of arguing with each other.
Yeah, good point. So, Rich and I dabbled into Volume 4. Mm-hmm. Right around the time that we were introduced to Team Yankee. And not Team Yankee, the version 4 kind, Team Yankee, the first, very first one, that was that in-betweeny 3.5 kind of not quite all of one or the other.
The original
Team Yankee. Yeah, the original Yankee. One.
Well, we had tried the Team Yankee thing before, and it just didn't gel with anybody.
Yeah.
The original one didn't.
So it would make it seem as though we really had given up on these. And Rob Wibbenhorst had put on some games for us that said, you know, no, you never have to play that game again. I have a much better option for
mm-hmm,
you.
Mm-hmm.
We played, what was that game? Not going to think of the name of it.
Battle Group.
Thank you. And he put on a splendid game, and I had a great deal of fun.
Yes, I had a blast when he put on that game at Millennium Con.
And then we've played Artie Conley's Crossfire.
Yes, we did. Had fun with that, too.
Yeah, had fun with that. And we we tested Sam Mustafa's Eisenhower. Haven't played Rommel yet.
Not yet. We've read it, but haven't done that
Want to do that, yeah. But I kind of, I'm going to take blame / credit for, Rich was fine with version 4, Flames of War, and was fine with the newer Team Yankee.
Yes.
I was fine with version 4 of Flames of War. Ray definitely had some issues with, at the very minimum, the way we were playing Team Yankee.
Yes.
But now here we are in 2024, and I just decided that I wanted to have a regular Friday night game of Flames of War. We have a new person that's in our group who has never played any kind of miniature war game ever before. I mean, literally, he's coming from Stratego to this. And I thought Flames of War V4 was a reasonably easy entree. We started with some small games, just he and I. And, you know, he was picking up, and he definitely got the taste for it. And it fired me up to want to do it more. So now, over the last few weeks, both Rich and then Rich and Ray have been in on these games, these Friday night games, and all of a sudden, the bitter hatred, which there probably never was, but the
perceived view on it.
At the very minimum, the lack of interest is at least partially waning, because I think everybody had a good time playing the games.
I had a great time.
Heaven forbid. You play a game and have a good time.
We rolled dice, little lead things got to roll over, plastic things got to roll over, and we're fine.
Roll dice, talk crap.
Talk
a lot of crap. That's what the game is for, right? So I know what my driving force was, but then I kind of am curious now to hear, and I'm purposely going to go to Rich first, but I'm going to save the best for last.
okay.
But, you know, where do you feel coming back into this game now?
Coming back into it, I think it was where we left off. I was thoroughly enjoying the game back in Volume 3. I do agree with you that we probably hit a saturation point. We were ready to try something new after our Version 3 excursion, and I think that's why I got put away for a while. But I remember you and I having conversations about wanting to bring it back and wanting to continue on with it again. And I was ready to go. It's just like, just name the day. I mean, you know, you've painted the army for me. I've got it ready to go. It's then no touch-ups. I could do a few touch-ups, but, you know, expand the different types of forces that you would play out. But I was ready for a long time ago to bring it back on. All I needed was the occasion to do it. And granted, a lot of other things kind of took its place. For a while there, we were doing the Team Yankee play, and that replaced it for a while. And I had no problem with Team Yankee, like you had mentioned. Mm-hmm. I also liked that. I saw it very close companion to Flames of War. Mm-hmm. Then we got into, you know, other projects. But I always lamented that it had gone so long since we had played World War II Flames of War. For me, it was just a good time to bring it back. And I would have been ready 6 months ago to bring it back. I'd have been ready a year ago to bring it back. It would have been fine with me.
Okay.
I just kind of went with the flow on what the current project was, whether it be Roar of the Roses, whether it be Team Yankee, whether it be Victorian Age or you know, Hellseizer 2.
Blood and Steel, yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. But I would have been perfectly fine bringing it back a long time. So with the way I approach it, the way I saw it, it's an old friend coming back home again.
Okay.
That's how I saw it.
And I do want to point out, by the way, Blood and Steel is still our project du jour. This is a side Friday night thing that I just added to our regular schedule. We're still full guns. Hopefully within maybe by the end of the month, we're going to get those Blood and Steel games going. And thankfully, just want to mention this too, Edgar Babon, if you're listening, thank you so much for the mission cards that you sent us.
Much appreciated.
Yeah, we will definitely be burning up the phone lines to you about questions and ideas. But yes, now to get back.
We've got some outside help coming into it.
Got an angle.
We got an angle. So that's kind of why it hasn't happened
just yet. Just yet. But anyway, so
but it's getting very close.
Back to the point then. So Rich said it's like inviting an old friend back. I thought it was like your rash coming back to Ray. So tell me your thought on, yeah, go ahead. Get this, let it all hang out, man. No, stop it. But yeah.
Good thing it's a podcast.
Yeah.
I had a serious love-hate relationship with Flames of War.
Okay.
For the most part, I like the rules, with a couple of exceptions. The problem was those exceptions were right at the heart of the rules. So they were things that came up all the time in every game. I don't like the parking lots. I spend a lot of time researching and painting my miniatures. I find painting miniatures a chore. So nothing annoys me more than putting that much effort into them and then watching them just kind of clump together in these little Napoleonic lines. That annoyed me.
Okay.
I've learned to kind of put that aside.
And it really doesn't happen in our games that
much.
It
does. More, yes, it does.
Okay.
More than you guys want to admit, but yes, it does. Things are still very cluttered on the table. Okay. They are in clumps.
All right.
Disclaimer, Ray's opinion.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. I like you. I don't see the issue in our game.
We will take pictures and compare them to actual photographs.
Well, of course. See. It's actual photographs.
It's a game. I mean, what games but don't...
Yeah, let him finish his dissertation.
You take the game point of view. I take the simulation point of view.
Yeah, this is not a simulation. But go ahead. Go ahead, please.
So I'm learning to cope with that. I've also, for the longest time, felt that the shooting combat part of the game, the rules were overly convoluted for what they did. They kind of weave themselves in and out, and they were the least intuitive part of it. They were the part that we wind up having to go, used to have to go back to the rule book. It's also the part that we found the most issues where we've been doing little things wrong. So I just felt like they were overly convoluted. They were complicated in ways that I didn't think they needed to be.
Okay.
And that, I felt, was a big problem.
Okay.
Because there's just no way around them. They are central to the game. It's not like a rule that's kind of on the periphery that only comes up once every...
It's a war game, you got to shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was that. Those were my two big issues.
So is it safe to say that those issues welled up more from version 3? Because we really had not played much version 4.
I think it welled up from version 3 and the interpretation that version 3 gave us on version 4.
Okay.
Because there were things that we weren't really doing exactly as the rule book said.
All right.
And this is one time that I'm the one that's gone rules as written on everybody and pulled out the rule book and said, nope, that isn't what it says. Yeah. So yeah. Usually I'm the one that's kind of, this feels right. Let's just do this.
Yeah.
This kind of fits the idea.
Yeah.
And I would say going with rules as written has ironed out a lot of the bumps for me.
Okay.
I'm much more comfortable with it now than I was before.
Okay.
I would still like something a bit simpler that I felt flowed a little better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but be frank, it is the game in town. It is the one that I think is Team Yankee included.
Right. I kind of lump them together at this point.
Team Yankee especially. I think it's more fleshed out than anybody else's rules. I think it just has fewer elements that feel like they were just kind of glued on as an afterthought.
Yeah.
Which has been an issue with some of the other rules we've tried.
So, okay, so I do agree that I think version 4, for the hatred that some people have of, and I get this, you collected all your awesome little pieces for version 3, and then they're just not a part of version 4 anymore, and you're mad about that, and I totally and completely get that. It's got a little bit of a Warhammer-y vibe to it. Not quite as bad. They didn't completely eliminate World War II, but yeah, there were a lot of specialized things, because that was part of what probably began to bog version 3 down for us, is that it was very granular. You could break down into whether it was your, you know, J model pan, you know what, I'm just making that up, but I mean there were many more options.
I will say this about that. Mm-hmm. You know, definitely that sounds like a German problem, because when I played American Blue, I had a frickin' Sherman with a 75 in the beginning.
Right. Yeah.
I had a frickin' Sherman with a 75 at the end.
That's probably true.
There was no distinction in between all that. That's
probably true, yeah.
You know, ironically, that's probably the one thing from version 3 that I miss, is that I could do every version of a Mark III or a Mark IV that ever existed, including all the hybrid intermediate models between. Yeah. I love that part.
Not surprising. I didn't care. I don't matter. It don't matter to me.
It didn't.
That did not appeal to me, that aspect of it.
It appeals to a modeling aspect. It really didn't change the game aspect hardly.
The game, roll a dice. Dead or not. Come on.
And that sums me up to a T.
Because
I had every plastic soldier company set of the Mark IV that I could get my hands on. And I actually built all those little intermediate Mark IV.
And that brings up another point, but let me get to my side of the revisiting first, and then we'll come back around to plastic soldier company.
I don't think your side matters.
Yeah, it probably does. It rarely does.
We've overruled your tongue.
At least at home. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't need this to be. If I wanted this, I'd go home to my wife, who doesn't listen to this podcast, thank God. But anyway, I was a little bit like Rich in the respect that I never lost an interest in it. I had invested a lot of time and money on basic forces, so I wasn't missing version 3. Likewise, when you play the British, the tank changes. The army doesn't change at all. Right. You go from
boys anti-tank
to Piat. Beyond that, virtually nothing else changes, except you get a different American tank. But you know, it's so really you can interchange a lot of the pieces very rapidly. I didn't lose or gain that much with those rules. And I did want a quicker game, and I did want something that I thought was streamlined. And I felt like version 4 did fix some things that I didn't care for in version 3. So I've been ready, and then, you know me, I want to paint. So, you know, I found some projects. I did my Africa Corps. I started these Russians. And the stuff is readily available. So that segues nicely into, I think, one of the reasons we also began to move away from version 3 a little bit. That was just at the beginning of Battlefront doing plastics.
Yeah.
And if you didn't want to pay your kidney for a force, buying one resin tank at a time for $10, $12, $14 when you needed 10 to make a unit, Plastic Soldier Company was the way you went. Not only were they probably at the time better models than the resin and metals.
I still have a mountain of them.
Mm-hmm. But they were cheap comparatively. Yep.
That's why I have a mountain of them. Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, Battlefront did what they probably just out of self-defense had to do and created plastics, which are getting better and better. Early plastics, I thought, were a little crude. The modern ones now are
yeah, the very first Stugs that came out were really kind of awkward, and they didn't go together very well.
But I'll say this, because they are a little like me, they're a little thicker, they're better game pieces. Because of all of the stuff in my collection that has broken barrels, it's exclusively the more scale Plastic Soldier Company stuff that's broken so far.
I haven't broken any of the chunky,
you know.
In dredging my Flames of War stuff back out, I've noticed that it's been mostly the Plastic Soldier Company stuff that's needed some cleanup and
repair. So in the company crack idea, Battlefront got me again, because they make nice plastic sets that match the rules and come with the cards, and it's just the way to do it. And I can even get them, because sadly we don't have any local brick and mortar here in town that sells very little historical stuff.
Right.
I can literally get this stuff on Amazon.
Yes, and that's my number one shop
spot
there.
Tomorrow. You know, I know they're Amazon. The devil. I know that. Look.
I don't care.
I'm going to hell. I know that, right? I love that meme that says, a special place in hell for me? How sweet of you. But I mean, it's available or local, like Kick-Ass Mail Order here in the United States, Miniatures Market. I can get stuff here in the U.S. within the week. And it's, you know, it's packaged and beautiful, and it's lined with crack, and I'm stuck again. I'm there begging for, you know, give me another fix. Give me the SU-120, you know, whatever, you know, it's worked out for me. And I do think it's a fairly easy game as tabletop war games go to teach at the rudimentary basic level. So with a new person in, it has worked out fairly well for me. So, do you think the way that they've marketed their new stuff has had a role in the way we feel about it? And by new stuff, I'm talking about years, but it's been, you know,
yeah, now it's not brand new rolling off it. But yeah, I can say definitely for me, even though we had not been playing until recently, I was still buying stuff. I mean, I still have like boxes of stuff that I can unpack and build because of the convenience. And I think we had mentioned this in the previous podcast, I was not willing to give up on it because of the time, the expense that we had put into units and the books we've collected, and I wasn't going to just let it go. Yep. I knew it was coming back, and so I bought for a rainy day.
Yeah,
and so yeah, that part of it played to me as well, called to me.
And we pray that version 5 isn't around the corner.
If it is, I'm sure we'll buy it. I'll buy that too.
Yeah, probably. You know, because that's the funny thing, and this is hilarious about the book. So I remember my mom, rest her soul, talking, you know, chain smoker all her life. It's like, well, you know, when cigarettes get to $2 a carton, I'm going to quit. You know, and then when she passed away, they were like $8. And she's, you know, still saying, when they get to $8, you know. I said, version 3, we're just going to stick with version 3. The hell if I'm going to buy, you know, boof. And all of a sudden, I'm knee deep in books and cards and all of that stuff. Because, I mean, here's something we don't say on this podcast, and maybe I'm the only one that feels like this, but I don't buy that for a moment. Can we all finally admit, can we look at all the memes about the gray hordes that are in people's closets and all that, and can we finally admit a big part of this hobby is buying stuff?
Yes. However, I am going to point out here that the buying the newest, latest rules is a Tom Richard thing. I'm usually the last one dragged into it, kicking and screaming, going,
Wait a minute.
Well, you still have a UHF television,
team,
too.
Team Yankee?
Team Yankee?
Yeah.
Team Yankee came around a long time ago.
You two dragging me into that thing.
Yes, because the first one failed, and the second one came up as a potential solution to the first one being such a failure.
I take exception to the previous comment. That. I want it noted in the tape.
I will be the first yes. one to admit that I want the shiny. I want the new.
Yes.
I was going to say, back to that comment, it depends, right? I think... Yes, I incline to agree that the shiny, yes, for certain things. So, like, an example, I don't see us still going out and, well, maybe you maybe, but like Ray and I, we're not buying any more 15 millimeter Napoleonics. We got what we have, and mine's 30 years old, and I'm still playing with it. Like I said, you are not counting. You, I'm not counting. So it's period specific. I mean, yep. There's some things I buy that are new. I just admitted I bought a whole bunch of, you know, Flames of War Volume 4 stuff because I didn't have it. But I do like it to a point where once we've have it built out where I want it, I'm good. I don't need to buy anymore.
Yeah, it is a part of the addiction. The purchasing is part of the addiction because I sit there and I look at my table. And I'm just finishing up these Russians, and I have a handful of leftover sprues of Panzer III's that I'm going to... I've got tons of Panzer III's, but they're all in Africa colors, and I'm just that kind of OCD. I'm going to do the rest of them in gray so they look right in Barbarossa and Case Blue. And I'm not even to that point. I'm going, Hungarians. You know, I'm already anticipating a next purchase. But sadly, it's also not just in this game, right? I'm also looking at stuff
where I am guilty... of this is miniatures. I buy
more than rules.
Yes. I am not the one who always wants the last, latest, greatest edition. But as soon as I get a force, not even finished, as soon as I get my latest force purchased, and I bought the last little miniature, I'm ready to start a new force. So, yeah, I'm the one that usually has multiple armies for the same set of rules. I don't want to spend more money and learn a new set of rules. I just want to play every army that's already in the rules that I've already got. Unless I'm having a problem.
I think that is a one distinction of the difference between us. Because like I think even Tom's built multiple armies for mm-hmm. rule sets. Sometimes out of necessity armies. Because no one else is painting it, right. So he's got to paint both sides up. But like me, I take a very opposite view in that. I'll build one army and I'll play it into the dirt because yep. that's the way I like it, and I'm good enough with that. The only thing that's going to force me to change is if. We stop playing that particular theater, right? So I've got Americans in Flames of War. If all of a sudden Eastern Front becomes the in vogue thing to do, well, my guys ain't got much to do at that point, and right. then I'm forced to do something else.
Lindley's.
Or borrow someone's, yeah. but, yeah, I don't need multiple. I'd like one, and I play it till the cows come home.
Because I like building and painting, yeah. that's a part of it to me. Yeah. I don't mind doing the multiple armies. But here, I do want to bring this little point up here. So, you know, as much fun as we make of Ray not painting, or either of them painting very fast, from the days that we played version 3 of these rules, when I still had my house, I kept most of Ray's miniatures at my house. So there is a bygone day when this man could, in fact, paint and finish armies, because I have at my house...
I'm kind of circling back around to that, kind of.
I have at my house, from Ray's paintbrush, Hornisses, Grills, Martyrs, Panzer III's in Desert and Gray, Panzer IV's in Desert, Opel Trucks, multiple machine gun teams and rifle teams, Mortars, Tiger I's, Jagdpanthers... there's a whole like SS infantry unit. There's Italians.
That infantry unit, by the way, is
the Gerbsjägers that I gave you, right?
They're just an SS unit. They're an early war SS unit. And yes, those are the ones that you gave me to bribe me away from playing Flames of War in 2D5th.
That's right. That's right. But I mean, so I have all this stuff, and I want to point out that it is all painted and mounted. So, you know, if somebody here says, well, I don't have an army, but you've got two, at least two, and the way you manipulate the list, I'd
Did
say more like
Did you mention all my Italians
that's
on there?
That was the last thing I was saying. You got a full Italian force, which, by the way, I remember, one of the best games you ever played were with those Italians.
Yeah, I've still got boxes of them I haven't painted yet. That's only a partially painted port, because that's what I was building up to when the game kind of started to die
out. But right now, today,
yes,
you've got
I have stuff to
usable stuff to put on the tabletop for almost any period. Yes.
And I'm looking at buying more stuff already.
Yep, yep. It's what you do, right? It's the crack,
because
right? It's the crack laced
block. What keeps me going in most games is the building and painting.
I think it's funny.
Which circles back around to why I hate the parking lot.
Yeah. I think it... So, by the way, I'm going to say about that. There's nothing in any set of rules we play that prevents that.
The problem is Team Yankee, maybe more so than Flames of War, but the rules encourage it greatly, because things work better in lumps than they do when they're spread out properly.
I disagree, because, as you said, that same concept applies in just about any rule set we play. That's the idea of clumping to be effective.
That's why people do it, because it works. No other reason.
Hence, that's why you do
people
it in a lot of other rule sets. Exactly. That's what
I haven't seen it in.
We haven't really
any
have a rule set where we could. But
Seven
if we
days
were
to
do
the River Rhine, it's
please,
not
we played
a
that
problem.
What twice?
Yes,
we haven't had a chance to do it.
But you can go online
and not
watch
the same
people play it.
Wow, that I don't do. I talk
it's
about
not
our,
a common thing.
Our experience.
It's not a complaint.
It would still do the same
in
thing.
Those rules.
Same thing would happen.
Well, you know what? I'll think about it.
You give me Boltec, you give me
reality,
9/10, which you don't play. I will
reality
them together.
Is
I'll do it.
When you look at other people playing it,
I said I would
it
do
doesn't
it.
Happen.
I remember when we played, well, and I'm not even say we, this was an other group's, a offshoot group's games of tank charts. They did it too. That was all their JS7s and Mousies and all the nonsense.
Command Decision, we did it there too.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think
I
did it.
I played the.
I'm admitting I did it. I robbed the cookie jar.
That would be you.
Yeah,
I did.
And,
I was gonna say, I'm going to do it. If it's effective, and most times it is, I will do that.
And going back to tank charts, the only reason it happened in tank charts were because of the people playing.
Because it worked too. I mean, you go hand in hand. If it don't work, you're not going to do it. You just said that yourself, and I agreed.
I'll be the voice of reason.
The
to
people
this.
In tank that people we were playing with in tank charts had skewed the rules in such a way, it was not truly tank charts.
That's
they
true.
Were using the combat things. They ignored all the other stuff that went into the game that would have made those formations unviable.
That's a speculation. We don't know, because we didn't play it like that.
So here's what I'm going to say about the other things. I would argue, so my mindset going into version 4, and I'd have to really go back and look at version 3, I think there were more penalties. That the thing that I think leads to a little bit of clumping up versus other games is the remarkably restrictive command radius. Having said that, the most epiphanal moment that I had rereading version 4 is how little penalty there is of being out of command. I seem to recall in like version 3, all you could do was like wet yourself and try and move back toward being in command. But in these rules, it's just the plus one if you fire on the move. And of course, you don't get the benefit of being, you know, if they get a reroll or something like, you know, something like that. Other than that, there's no negative to it. So I don't feel compelled to leave them all in a 6-inch clump anymore. Mm-hmm. Because the penalty for... Because I'd sue... See, I have an indifferent thing. You say it rewards you for being all clumped together. I still think crossfire is the greatest thing you can typically have. Particularly when you have British anti-tank guns that have questionable anti-tank value. I want that opportunity to keep you busy from the front and hit you from the side. Yeah. There's no advantage to being the British all clumped together in the front of German tanks. None.
I can only say our games have not played out that way. The new games.
I disagree.
I disagree too, but either way.
Yeah, y'all are...
I will admit to this. They don't conform to Ray's idea of how the game should be played.
No.
No, I think that's accurate.
Yeah. It's not how it should be played. It's how it should It runs in many areas contrary to the reality and the doctrine that everybody pretty much operates under.
So are you calling that Alposis as Exhibit A a parking lot?
When you look at what the actuality is.
You mean the actuality on a battlefield?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. It's a freaking
game.
It's
a game that we already know is not in scale. I mean, we know that already.
That is a formation that you would use on a target range.
I'm gonna post on the Facebook group. Because you and I in theory, agree about the parking lots. I don't like them either. We disagree on the definition. The ones that I see on Facebook and in the forums where they're touching, I mean, you couldn't slip one of the cards in between the vehicles. That bugs me. The photo that I just showed Ray that I'll put on the thing, I've got my tanks probably 1/2 inch apart. You know, something like that. So there's, and again, in whatever the magical game scale of this game is, it's, you know, 8-10 feet, something like that, you know. Yeah, now, are they 100 yards apart? No, they're not. Are they 300 yards apart the way they would be on the battlefield? No, they're not.
I would argue that it's not 8 feet apart because you could not drive another tank between those tanks. By the definition of the rules, it is 1-to-1, and the units, the teams are in scale with what they are. The ranges for the weapons are distorted greatly,
yeah.
But the actual ground scale is accurate. If you've got two buildings and the tank will not fit between the buildings,
right,
then the tank cannot
drive. And I didn't try and put one between those two tanks.
But I'm saying that right there tells you, because of the way the movement and everything works, it is all the elements are in scale with the models on the table. The ranges are distorted.
Yeah.
I mean, the ranges are made up.
Every game.
To keep it on the table.
Every game does that. Every single game does that. You can't have the realistic range. I mean, if you want to talk about that, the most preposterous ranges in this game, and true with most of them, is the artillery.
Yes.
That's which should be the nowhere to be seen. Miles.
Now that part
away,
I can agree with, but you know what? It still don't bother me.
I've said that from day one. Doesn't bother me, but I've said that from day one about these rules. That was them selling miniatures, because realistically, this should be a paperwork.
Not for
thing.
The scale they're talking about.
Unless you're playing some where they've attacked the rear area and all of that, and they've overrun the guns. There's scenarios where it would be involved, but
I will say, I have come to terms with it.
Well, I'm so glad. I will sleep better knowing he's come to terms with it.
Well, it's why I'm playing it now and not going, yeah, you guys can do it.
Yeah, well, I was playing anyway, so it didn't matter. It's just,
and that's cool, but that is why I have at this point come to terms with that is the way it is, and bitching about it ain't going to do nothing.
If we scrutinized every single set of rules we play, we would find some piece of it meets that kind of criteria. Yeah. Not necessarily
based on
range.
Historical accuracy. I can shoot down every set of rules we want to play.
A cavalry stand is right. Versus what two ranks of cavalry horses would
correct.
Be.
Correct. I agree correct. Completely, except each of us have those things where we feel like a set of rules, with the exception of Richard, who is cool with just as long as you
have fun.
Don't change.
As long as you have fun.
As long
in
as
the
you
game.
Don't house rule something, everything goes. but
you're just like a whore. It's like anything going on.
He is, man. It's just like, okay, yeah, this works. I
play the
you
game.
And I, isn't that what you and I both games? Tom have things where we feel like rules just disregard history to the point where we have a problem with it.
I suppose
those become less favored games.
This is the ultimate crooked hanging picture for you. It just yes. You walk by it, you can't stand that the TV that the picture is crooked. And this is something
that has deeply bothered me for a very long time.
And there's medication for that.
Therapy too.
This episode is brought to you by Better Health. No, I'm kidding. Better Health, if you want to come on and you're right. Every set of rules has that potential for that thing that just rubs you raw.
Yes.
And
which is why if somebody were to bring up Johnny Rep 3 again, I don't think anybody at this
I
recording.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah,
no, you wouldn't.
No, hey, I brought it into the group.
He
I'll bring
would.
It back.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, no, it's just, yes, it was one of those things that annoyed me to no end. Now, I will say version 4 has taken away some of the things that I felt made it more egregious. It has corrected some of it. It still bothers me, but to be frank, with all the other rules that we've tried, Team Yankee and Flames of War seem to be the ones that are the most fleshed out, the most flexible. There are more options for what you can play. And it's what most people are playing.
And as I hear Rob Wobenhorst pulling out his hair, thinking, yes. Screaming,
sorry, Rob.
Group, as loudly as he can, I really gave some thought to this because I've got the battle group rules. I have the torch.
Yes, I have them too.
I have
and
the torch.
Had I had my druthers, would be playing that.
Okay.
But.
And I've got the torch book because, you know, again, there's no army list whatsoever in the base rules. You have to have one of the books to have some army lists. And I like the game. I've played the game. I had a great time with the game. They just don't sprinkle enough crack in it. I can't tell you why I'm not playing that. I mean, a little bit of it is the setup. There's going to be more setup involved. There's going to be more... and this is what some people like about it. I mean, because it's such kind of an open architecture thing, you can kind of do whatever you want, which, by the way, you can do in these too. But if you don't want to, they have everything laid out for, you know, the idiot's version of it, which is what I've been playing.
Yes.
Happily, because I kind of didn't want to put that effort into this.
Yeah.
So it's no rub on Battle Group. I think Battle Group's a fine set of rules. And the great thing is, if we ever just decided that we just could not do this, all the miniatures are usable. We're ready to go. You know,
yeah.
We'd have to learn something new, but it wouldn't have to be buying anything new. But for whatever reason, and I'm not saying it's a good reason, but Battlefront has won my pocketbook for now, and you know, I'm in until I'm not. You know, so. There, I'm not going to apologize for anything. I'm going to play any kind of game I want.
It's good to see it back on the table. That's what I'll say.
You know, it really came from doing the playtest with Sam of me rummaging through all of my miniatures going, damn, I want to play with these again. You know, because I went through like every tray to make a big game that, you know, we had that test game, and I'm still on with that one. And I'm ready to test his next version of it and all that. But I really liked my miniatures. I'm happy with the way they came out, and I want to use them. You know, that's one thing we've said every single, you know, not that the podcast has been around forever, but we've said it amongst ourselves even before the podcast. This is the year we're going to play more games than we're going to. Well, damn it, I'm going to play some damn game. Now, so far, I've played a game every Friday night of 2024. And yes, I know it's only like 3 because I started in December. I started early and I'm keeping it up. And if it's Tiddlywinks, I'm going to play a damn game every Friday night. Because that's kind of why I paint this stuff, I hope.
Except this Friday.
I'm playing a board game this Friday. Not always my cup of tea, but I've got a great friend who's really been wanting us to play a board game, so I'm in on playing that board game. So I'm still playing a game.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
Still rolling dice.
Who knows?
Might come back and try and convert you all to board gamers.
I don't know.
You have to convert me.
I don't know how it happened, but coincidentally, while you were circling back around to Flames of War and World War II, I got involved in reading something that was more of a modern era thing, which sparked up the conversation on Team Yankee again.
Yeah.
And that's how I backed into this. So...
yeah, well,
Two things kind of happened about the same time.
And I've got all my stuff for that. Matter of fact, I even painted a couple extra. I got a little more infantry, so I've got a full infantry force if I wanted to.
I'm ready to it. I'm ready for it.
Yep. We got them. We're literally, our microphones are sitting on stacks of Battlefront books.
Yep. Yeah. You know, our desk is covered. Yep. I got the cards. Right. I got the plane tin. It's all here. All Christmas gifts, by the way.
Very nice. Yeah. So by the next time this podcast airs, one of us might have killed the other one. No, I don't think that's going to happen. Well, but we'll keep you posted.
Figuratively, it'll happen on the table.
It'll happen on the table.
Yes.
Yeah. Hopefully that's where it stays, right?
Because that's where most of these grudge matches play out.
Yeah, that's the part where we've matured. We've stopped punching each other quite as much as we used to. Dear God, Chantel, save us.
This has been Anything But a One, Adventures in Historical Miniature Wargaming. Subscribe on all major podcatchers and please rate and review us. You can support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/ABA and the number one. patreon.com/ABA1. See you next time.